It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We have finished the book of Exodus. We're going to Leviticus. We're not going to begin with the first chapter of Leviticus. We're going to kind of summarize it just a little bit. But we are going to begin and look at the 16th chapter. So I'd like for you to go to Leviticus chapter 16, and we're going to read just a couple of verses, and so please that you open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 16, and we'll have a wonderful study there. So as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And again, we're in Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 16, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading with the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. The Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, with a young bullock of a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. We're going to end there and begin with prayer, as we always do. Father, please, that you will guide and lead us today. I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. It's just such a joy to open your precious word, dear Lord, and enjoy it. Oh, dear Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. And I ask that all that are listening, that they do hear. You know, there's differences. We experience that, Father, with our children. You know, you'll tell them something, but they're not really listening. I hope today that we are listening, that we do hear, that it's not something that we just kind of slough off. Please, dear Lord, that we listen and listen carefully, and we hear every word that you will have for us today. Oh, please, that you touch the hearts of the lost, that they be saved today, that they be born again, that they face their sin and they trust in you as their Savior. I ask, dear Lord, that that be today. Also today, dear Lord, I ask that the church, those that are saved, will return to you. Dear Father, we know that once you're saved, you're always saved. But our fellowship that we have with you many times goes away because of sin, because of our love for the world more than our love for you. So please today that the church grow closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed a wonderful study in the book of Exodus. It has taken many, many months into years to go through the book of Exodus. We've been through the book of Genesis. Genesis was the same way. It's a wonderful, both books are wonderful books. It really begins with the creation, of course, the fall of man, the redemption of man. And it starts very early in the book of Genesis with a single family. And if you'll notice, it just continues. And through all the book of Exodus, now in Leviticus, it is pertaining to all the world as far as man is concerned, but it is dealing specifically with one family, and that is the family of Israel. And so Abraham's descendants, the family of Israel. We are going to summarize just a little bit here to kind of help catch you up. I don't know if you've ever studied the book of Leviticus. If you have not, please do so. I would love to take the time to study the book of Leviticus, but we have been in the Old Testament for so long, I believe that we're going to look at this 16th chapter in the same thought, the same time. We are going to be in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 15, and we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, the 19th through the 26th verse. And so that all ties together, and so it's going to kind of bring us into the study of the New Testament. We're going to look at a couple of things there, and then we may return. But right now, it's been such a joy through these years to study the book of Genesis, on into the book of Exodus, and now we're going to just come to the 16th chapter of Leviticus. It's concerning the Day of Atonement, something that we've talked about quite a bit as we looked at the building of the tabernacle. Exodus is the record of redemption. It lays the foundation for the cleansing, the worship, the service of a people that's been redeemed. All right, that's the book of Exodus. It, again, is the record of redemption. It tells us the coming of the saving power of Jesus Christ. It is such a beautiful picture. We've looked at it. We've talked about it. And it sets the foundation for the rest of our life as a Christian, as a member of the church. And when I said earlier in the prayer there, you know, that the church grow closer, the only folks that are members of the church are born-again believers. Your name, you may be on the roll of some church somewhere, but if you're not born again, you're not a member of the church. You are not a member of the church. The only way you can be a member of the church is to be born again. So you see, it first gives us redemption, and then it lays the foundation for everything else. Now Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, gives the detail of this walk and the worship and the service that the people of God should give. So the book of Exodus is the redemption and lays the foundation. Then the book of Leviticus is the one that gives us the details about that. The book of Leviticus has been said to be one of the most important books in all the Word of God. And so it's hard for me to specify from one to the other. I love the book of Leviticus. I love the book of Hebrews. Two books that most of the preachers of today stay away from. And again, we may return to the book of Leviticus here in a period of time. But right now, we're just going to come to the 16th chapter and take a look at that. The book of Exodus, it is God speaks to the people from the mount, from Mount Sinai. All are forbidden to come near. You know, we have speaking of Moses, you know, we know Moses came up and was before the Lord, but the people as a whole had to keep their distance. They were specifically to stay away from the base of the mount, otherwise they would have been put to death. And so now Leviticus, God's speaking to the people changes. It is not of judgment and condemnation as the law was given from Mount Sinai. Now God speaks to his people in the midst of his people. He is speaking from the tabernacle, from the Holy of Holies. I hope that you didn't miss the study of the book of Exodus. I hope that you didn't miss the study of the tabernacle and all those things. If you did, I just ask that you would go to the website that we had given, parkviewbiblechurch.org, because that's what's on the website. It is just the studies. It's my Sunday message that was preached, and it is radio from the three different stations, four different stations that we're on, it gives us, it has those programs on there. And right now we're over 100 in number up on the website. And so if you want to begin a study with the book of Exodus because you missed it, or you want to go back to Genesis, we do not have all of them there yet, but we're in the process of bringing them on. So please look, go, study, enjoy that time, enjoy that fellowship as you look at that. And so I hope that you are able to enjoy that, but I want you to see that it has changed. From Exodus, they were forbidden to go to the mount. Here in the tabernacle now, he is in the midst of the people. He is coming in the Shekinah glory cloud. It is his cloud of glory. It is fire at the... we find that it fire by night, and we have the cloud by day, but is coming from the midst of the tabernacle, from the Holy of Holies, from the tabernacle. There's a key word in the book of Leviticus, and that key word is holiness. So you can see why that the book of Leviticus is so important. I believe you can also see why that people today do not want to study the book of Leviticus, because it teaches and preaches holiness. Well, that's something that the church really doesn't like today. And so, and again, I'm going to repeat myself. The church are those that are born again. It is not just because you're members of Parkview Bible Church. You can come, you can say, yes, I'm born again, you can be baptized, you can go through the classes, you can join the church, and never be really a member of the church because you're not born again. On the other hand, you could not have went through all those things, never have darkened the door of this church, and be a member of the church because you're born again. That's what makes you a member of the church, to be born again. So, holiness, 87 times you're going to find that word in the book of Leviticus, and so it is a very primary. The book of Leviticus is a little different than the book of Exodus. You know, Exodus starts in Egypt and ends at Mount Sinai, comes through the Red Sea. We have quite a trip there, and nothing compared with what's going to come. On the other hand, the book of Leviticus, Its geographic location starts at the base of Mount Sinai and ends at the base of Mount Sinai. They don't go anywhere. And so we know that in Exodus, you know, they got the instructions for the tabernacle. God gave it to them, and then it came down. It was given to the people that was going to build it. Then it was presented unto Moses, and then it was assembled. And that's where we closed in the book of Exodus. But here in... with this tabernacle, everything now that God is in the midst, his Shekinah glory cloud, the cloud of God, the glory of God has come down. It is in the midst of the people, and now he begins to speak to them. And so we have this together. This book opens with a Hebrew word, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it, but I am going to spell it for you, V-A-Y-I-C-K-R-A-H. That is a Hebrew word, which is the first word of this book, and it means, and he called. So that's the introduction to the book. You see, prior to this time, there has been no meeting place that man and God can meet. Now, for the first time, that has come about. And so these words, and he called, speaking of God himself, calls the people forwards to him. What a beautiful thought as we looked at the beginning of this book. Once again, I am going to we're going to look at the 16th chapter and all 34 verses, but at the same time, we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. So if you want to be prepared for this study over the next couple of times, I would ask that you read Leviticus 16, all 34 verses, and then read the 9th chapter of Hebrews, and read the 10th chapter of Hebrews. And we're going to be looking at those verses of Scripture, and you will be prepared and enjoy it. Now, as we begin this chapter here, the 16th chapter, we are going to see some things, and I want you to understand where it's starting. It is starting somewhat of a strange place, because the first verse here says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron. They were offered before the Lord. They offered before the Lord and died." Now, if you go back with me to Leviticus chapter 10, we're going to read just the first couple of verses of this, and I'll give you the situation and what took place here. All right, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." Isn't that something, where Aaron's two sons? Now, this, what happened? What did they do? They were to bring before the Lord certain offerings and sacrifices. They were to come before the Lord in the proper fashion, proper time, in the proper way. God commands our obedience, and particularly when it comes to those in leadership position. So you see, Aaron is chosen of the high priest, and his sons are in the position to take that role when Aaron is gone. And so they're of very high ranking. It's not only the tribe of Levi, but also the family of Aaron. Now, Aaron and Moses are brothers. And so we find here that Moses is going to be the leader that takes them through the wilderness, but Aaron is the one that God has chosen to minister before God and between God and the people. It would seem strange that God would choose a man that has a family like this. God chose Aaron, and Aaron's sons need to choose to serve God. What else is, this Aaron? He was involved in something else. Don't you remember? Remember when Aaron was the one that sculpted that and made that golden calf? And, you know, when he was asked about it, he says, "You know, they brought me their jewels and their gold, and it just happened." Well, we know better than that. But God has chosen this man to be in this place, in this position. We just hope that he is obedient and listens, and that he can receive the blessings, and God will be able to use him. Well, we find that Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron, they decided that they were just going to offer a sacrifice whenever they wanted to. They thought, you know, this is good on this day. Well, it'll probably be good on this day too then. And so, you know, we're going to do it our way. Well, do you realize that man has been doing that forever? That's what's wrong with the church today. We're not doing it God's way. We're doing it man's way. And God doesn't like it. Well, at this early beginning of the tabernacle, the nation of Israel, God chose to bring a very severe judgment down to show the people that he is a God of judgment, and he wants what he wants. When God speaks, that's the way it needs to be. Well, these people didn't follow that. These people didn't follow that. They decided they were going to do it their way on their time. That was what they wanted to do. So, you see what has happened here. They begin to bring an offering in at the wrong time. They did it upon their own means. And God says, "You didn't listen." what did I say at the very beginning there, where, you know, we find with children, many times we speak to them, they appear to hear, but they don't listen. Well, that's something I'm afraid, my friend, we don't grow out of. I think we continue to do that, and sad to say that that's exactly what was happening here. And so as we look at this, as we see this, all right, now we have this problem. Well, it wasn't a problem very long, because they decided they were going to worship the way they wanted to worship. How do you think God looks upon your worship today? All the garbage with the music, all the nonsense with the movement of everybody merging together to get along. God calls us to be separate. He calls us to come out from the world, not to bring the world into the church. I'm afraid that we're in the church age of the Laodicean church. That is an age, that is a time period when the church is lukewarm, and God says, I'd rather have you hot or cold than lukewarm. You're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you up, I'm going to throw you up. And that's exactly the condition of the church today with all of its compromising ways. Oh, if you want to fill a church, you just compromise. The old devil will bring all his crowd right to you. Well, my friend, I refuse to do that. I refuse to compromise. I refuse to leave the Word of God. I refuse to leave the King James Bible. We're standing upon the Word of God, and you come. If you want to grow, then you come. We're going to study the Word of God. But if you want all that other garbage and all those activities and all those things, and you want to act like the world and go downtown to some club, because don't come here. You can probably find a church that would meet your needs, but it's sad when you begin to compromise and act like the church, like the world in the church. That's a sad, sad day. Now, Nadab and Abihu, acting in the things of God, they were bringing an offering, but they did not seek the will of God. They didn't seek the mind of God. You see, it was their mind. They decided to do it. Most programs in the church today are man-made, and God hates them. In earlier chapters of this book, we have read what happened to Nadab and Abihu here in the 10th chapter. They did their own thing. And God sent fire down and devoured them. And after they were devoured, after they were put to death, Moses said to Aaron, "This is it that God spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me." You see, Nadab and Abihu wasn't coming to honor God or to praise God. They were coming for themselves because they wanted to do it. Oh, doesn't that sound like the church today? But God says, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron never spoke a word. How would you like your two sons just to be struck down by the fire and the power of God because of their wickedness? And you just stood there and never said a word. Well, that's what Aaron did. Because Aaron knew what had happened. Aaron knew the wrong that they had done. Earlier in the chapters of this book of Leviticus, we have covered or would have covered the subjects of offering and the position of the priests and sin. But this 16th chapter, we come to a very complete picture, a wonderful shadow, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross. This shadow or this type we find to be called the Day of Atonement. It was even known as the Day. It was that important. It is the greatest of all sacrifices, ceremonies, ordinances, whatever they may have in the Old Testament. It is the greatest. This Day of Atonement, or the Day. the instruction that they receive for this Day of Atonement seems to come following the death of Nadab and Abihu. So upon their death, this, it seems to come into place. This chapter covers so clearly the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. It's made clear in this service, this Day of Atonement. So I hope that you see that. There is a great gulf fixed, but there's a great gulf between God and man. We have talked about that from time to time. But one man said, it's not a fixed gulf. It has a bridge. And this Day of Atonement is going to show us that bridge. It's going to show us our condition. It's going to show us the bridge. So I hope you see the bridge. I hope that you enjoy this. Now let's go back now. I'm still at the 10th chapter of Leviticus. Let's go back to the 16th chapter. And once again, we're going to read. We have in this introduction here, and I knew it would take most of the time today. But again, I want you to read Leviticus 16, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to do that for me. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. Okay, we went back to Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, and looked at that. The Lord said to Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times unto the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So Moses is telling Aaron, you know, Aaron is the one that seems to be in charge here, and yet Moses is still the one that God is speaking through, and especially with this that has happened with Aaron's sons. And the Lord is telling Moses to tell Aaron that don't speak unto Aaron thy brother that he comes not at all times. You can't come and go to this holy place. You can't do it. We're going to find that something very common here is going to be the blood. That's something else that preachers don't preach about. People don't like to talk about the blood. When you don't talk about the blood, you've got nothing. Nothing exists in your redemptive hope. The redemption of your soul, you have no hope if you do not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what the beautiful picture is going to be here. Now we have, as we get to this, and so he's telling Aaron, you know, don't do like your sons. They thought they could just come and go as they please. No, it's God's rule, God's direction. As we had talked about before, Exodus is a record of redemption. It gives the foundation for our life. Leviticus gives us great detail for this. Now that that's in place, and so the whole tone has changed. We've come off the mount. Now we're in the holy place of the tabernacle. And so, what a wonderful day, and keep thee in mind the primary word of this book is holiness. It's holiness. Of course, we've got the blood line through it all, but it's holiness is what's said here. Now, as we look, this book begins here as we look at the third verse. Thus shall Aaron come unto the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, he shall put on the holy linen coat, he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and put them on. He's preparing for this day. He's preparing for this one special time. Now, we have two offerings here, and we're out of time. take a look and see what you can find for concerning the sin offering and the burnt offering. Those are two offerings, and that's where we'll begin this next time we come together with those two offerings, what they are, and what we have. Now, we have several offerings. These two are listed right here. Now, it's so important, my friend, that you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you've come by faith to Him and been saved. If you haven't, please come now. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?